Blog Talk Radio.
Open up your heart, open up your mind. Open up your heart, you'll be sure to find. Now hear it, he'll show love make a way. Now hear it, he'll provide a better day. Not yourself over what is small. For he's the great father, he's father to us all. He hears your every cry, yes he does. And he knows your every desire, yeah. He never suffers the righteous to hunger, and you won't be ashamed if you trust him. Yahweh, he'll show up, make a way. Yahweh, he'll provide a better day.
Yahweh,
oh. He's the light of this whole wide world, yeah. The fishing is the day and the evil it brings. Tomorrow take care of itself, don't be anxious. Birds of the air, they know they're gonna eat. Yeah, provide for them, they don't have to worry.
He rises just to show you that he loves you. He rises just to show you that he cares for you.
Open up your heart, open up your
open
mind.
Open up your mind.
Open up your heart, you'll be sure,
you'll
to,
be
find
sure to find.
Yahweh,
Yahweh,
he'll show up, make a way. Yahweh,
suffers the righteous to hunger. Lead me beside still waters, even in the presence of my enemies. Blessings, so many blessings. Even in the shadow of death, I will not fear.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome once again to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Nation Elder Show. And tonight we have with us Elder Yael and myself, Elder Yeliah. And tonight is going to be a little bit different. We're just not going to come at you with a structured topic or anything like that that we've, you know, kind of researched, delved into. Tonight's just going to be kind of like a free-for-all. We're just going to talk with what the Ruach gives us. We're right off the top of our lips. And we decided to do that earlier this weekend. So it's going to be a different type of show. We're not going to be before you long, so stay awake. And let's see, our scripture tonight is out of Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13. Topic for tonight is simply things happening in the world. And these verses read as follows. Matthew 24, 12 and 13, it says, reading out of King James, it says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So, like I say, we're going to run the gamut tonight, talk about whatever Yah gives us, whatever the Ruach gives us. It could be the entertainment business. It could be the timetable, the countdown. You know, whether some of you believe the 400-year prophecy or not, we definitely believe it because it's in the word of Yah. So we don't have any guessing game. So there is a countdown. To be specific, it's more like around August of this year, 2019. But right now, we're going to go ahead and let Elder Yahyil speak whatever Yah gives him, and I'll try to chime in later. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Elder.
All right. Hallelujah, Elder. Todah for that introduction. Hallelujah. Again, welcome to the Elder Show tonight. And tonight we're coming to you with just some talk, like he said. We just want to talk about some things that we see going on because we know time is short. You know, even in the book of Revelation, you know, you notice it tells us here right away. He says, blessed is he, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and guard, in other words, pay close attention to what is written in it, for the time is near. You see, now that's something I just want to start out with listening to what the word has said so that when we get into this, we're going to talk about some things that are happening and some strange things, you know. But, you know, it's nothing for us to be alarmed about that much because Yahushua has already told us things are going to come to pass. It's going to be, in fact, there's going to be some terrible times, a time so terrible like it's never been since the world began, and even up until this very time now. So we know things are going to be going on, and so he just told us, see that you don't be troubled about these things, okay? In other words, like the scripture says, put your trust in Yah, okay? Put through it this now. We don't have no time for doubting Yah, because this is the only way, the only thing that we're going to have to rely on, you know? And we got to figure out and realize that we can rely on Yah, no matter what's going on in this world, because there's some serious stuff going on out here, especially with these nations, these powerful nations. They all look like they can destroy the whole world just by themselves. One, you know, Russia got terrible, nasty bombs. United States got these nasty nuclear stuff going on. China, all these people, you know, and they seem to be getting agitated with each other. You know, and when I see that, even Iran, you know, this is something more, and especially at this time today, because, look, the 400 years will be over, 3 months. 3 months, you see? And since, you know, we know what Yah has told us about this place, how he's going to take care of it for doing what they did to the children of Israel, those of us, you know, you can read a little bit of that. And even Isaiah, I believe, chapter 47, you know, take a look at it if you can, when you can, you know, because these things are coming to pass fast. You know, it's swift. They're coming up on the world. And so we may as well realize that. Realize that, because it tells us, especially talking about Babel, Babylon, this place that we are sitting up in right now and been here, our people, for the last 400 years, okay? And so when we see what done happened and what they have done to us, look what it says even in Isaiah 47. I'm just read the first few verses real quick. Come down and sit in the dust, O maiden daughter of Babel. Talking about this United States right here. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldean, for no more do they call you tender and delicate. You see? Take the millstones and grind flour. Remove your veil. Lift up the skirt. Uncover the leg. Pass through rivers. Okay? Let your nakedness be uncovered. Let your shame also be exposed. I take vengeance and meet no man. You see? So vengeance is coming to this place. Okay? And we need to be ready. We need to get ready. We get prepared. Get prepared, okay? Take heed to Yah's word now. If never, ever before. This is the time. We must, okay? Because this is our Redeemer. Yah of hosts is his name, the set-apart one of Israel, okay? So hallelujah. Now let's go on here. As I looked at that the scripture, as I look at the scripture these days now, you know, because I'm trying to make sure I hear what the word of Yah is saying to us now, because I want to make sure I hear that still small voice to tell me exactly which way to go in these troublous times. You know, tells us you should hear a still small voice behind you. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want let Satan get me so distracted until I ignore that still small voice that Yah promised that we should hear, okay, telling us which way to go. You see, that's why I'm not, you know, jumping too quick. I just want to hear that still small voice, okay? Because I know Yah is trustworthy. He done told us, just trust him, you know? That's right, trust Yah, trust him, okay? And I want to look at something real quick because these are some things that I was just, you know, going through my computer today and just happened to run up on this article here, okay? Because this is serious, serious, serious. And the title of this article is Deaths of Despair, okay, are cutting life short for some white Americans. You hear that? You hear that? It says, in spite of decades of advancements in healthcare, diet, and safety, white Americans are now living shorter lives. Okay? And see, I'm telling you something. Now, this has been out since February of 2017. See, here it is, 18, 19. So imagine, you know. And let me read on here. It said, a trend that has surprised experts. Economics respondent Paul Solman reports out of Maysville, Kentucky, an area struggling with an increase in addiction, overdoses, and suicide. You know? Now, you notice they titled that white people, white Americans. You know? White America is the very nation, very people that has held Israel, the nation of Israel, in captivity, okay? In all of these 400 years, you know? And here's another thing that Yah said about them in verse 6 of Isaiah 47. I was rough with my people. I have profaned my inheritance, and I gave them, notice that, God said he gave them into your hand. See, we were given over here into these white folks' hands. You showed them no compassion. You made your yoke very heavy on the elderly, and you said, I am mistress forever. So that you did not take these matters to heart and did not remember the latter end of them. You see? So they cocky, just arrogant, everything. They could do whatever they wanted to. You know, it didn't matter how, even if, I mean, they wouldn't even recognize you as a human being. You know? Because they, you know, we know they didn't. They came up with this 3/5 law thing, you know, take three of us black men to make up for one of those pale-faced white men, white people, you know. That's the way it was. That's the law that they came up with for themselves, you know. And so these are the things that when we look at this here article here, I'm just kind of, you know, it makes me know that Yah's word is sure, okay? He said, now, a look at a demographic trend that is surprising the experts. Despite decades of advancements in healthcare, diet, and safety, middle-aged white Americans are now living shorter, not longer, lives. Shorter lives, you see? In spite of all of this good stuff that's supposed to be going on, okay? Our economics correspondent reports in the latest installment of Making Sense, says here in Maysville, Kentucky, in the northeast corner of the state, just a short bridge away from Ohio, okay? Despite some merchants' best efforts at cosmopolitan outreach, the downtown is struggling. But at one local establishment, business is brisk and growing, okay? You watch what business that is, okay? Let me look at this here. Okay, so because I want to make sure. Well, here we go. This is the Batesville 20 gauge steel protector. Okay, steel protector. All right. Let's look, see what he's talking about. Let me just go down here. David Lawrence manages the Knox and Brothers Funeral Home. Okay. Now, that's giving me some hints about the only business that really is growing up over there is also the county coroner. He's been seeing a lot of dead white males of late, especially ages 45 to 54. You see that? I mean, that's not old at all. You know, that's really young. I remember when I made my 40th year birthday, and I was working with some Gentiles and so forth. And on that day, you know, they were at my job, they would post your birth date, they're just in the month that you were born in and so forth. And I knew it again. Some guy walked up to me, Gentile guy. He asked me, he said, well, Earl, he said, you know, my slave name, how old are you now? I said, you got a birthday coming up. Oh, you just happy. And when I told him, well, I'll be 40, that he, you know what? His countenance fell. And he almost literally wasn't, he thought I was just lying to him, flat out lying. He got mad because he said, you lying. You don't have to lie to me, you know? I said, well, hey, I'm not lying to you. I know my age. But I didn't fight. I just let that go because, you know, this is how I looked. I guess I looked like I was just 20, 22, 21, or something like that, you know, because he just couldn't take it. The fact that I told him the truth about my age, 40 years old, man, he couldn't believe. He said, no, you can't be. So I didn't try to prove it to him, but that's just the way, you know, things are. To see these white men dying at age 45 to 54, dropped, killing themselves, abusing themselves, you know. Okay, so I'm just going to read this here. There has been a Denham practicing medicine. Craig Denham wears multiple hats, too. Okay, he goes on to just tell a little bit about it. A fifth-generation Kentucky family physician. That's who he is, okay? And so he's there looking at all these things that are going on over there in Maysville, Kentucky, just blowing his mind. He's also a medical director for the fire department emergency services. So in the past 2 to 2.5 years, he says, we have had about a 300% increase in the drug-related overdoses, ambulance runs, and the prevalence of course, opiate addiction in this area continues to increase. You see? So this is something, you know, I tell you, as a Hebrew Israelite, and the knowledge that Yah has given me, and what I see, how it's working really in the family of Yah, in the Hebrew Israelite nation, you see, we don't read about this kind of stuff, you know? We don't read about this stuff. This stuff, I haven't read, not much of it, not as much of it as is going on here. Usually look like our deaths occurs from them killing us, you know? Yeah, we go out there and do something, maybe do something stupid and cause the death on ourselves. But I'm just saying, as far as this overuse, opioids, and opiates and stuff like that, all of that, that seems to be part of mostly of the white race, okay? And he said he just carried this tremendous guilt for, he was talking about one woman, okay? She blames the drugs in part for her husband's suicide, you know? And she said he just carried this tremendous guilt for everything. I mean, he just guilty for it. And like everything. I guess his son was doing drugs. Then he started getting depressed. And then she said, my husband took his own life. See? So it's like it doesn't take much for them to go overboard. Give up, no hope. You know? In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was, you know, having to work with a guy because of my profession that I do. And again, same age, white male, around that age, 45 to 50, 54, 55, something like that. And I was just about getting concerned about him because, man, he was the most depressed person that I have seen really since I've been in business. You know, it just blew me away that he was so depressed, you know, and he was talking like nothing could help him, nothing. I mean, it was like, you know, he was giving up. He was hopeless. He was basically telling me, you know, I'm just ready to give it up, give it all up, you know. So I said, wow, this is really something. So I just kind of, you know, you would pray, really, hopefully that everything would be okay. And fortunately, with the treatment that I was able to administer to the man, you know, he started getting better, you see. Because, you know, how it is the work that we do, when we find somebody that is not, don't seem to be progressing, if he's regressing, it's not getting better, his mind is going off, and he's looking like he's ready to take his own life or something, you know, then we adjust to something else. We take other measures, you know, to really make sure that this person hopefully doesn't go off on the deep end. And fortunately, we were able to get him some other kind of help that got him back on track, on target. And now he's starting to act like a person, a regular person. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's not, at least not trying to blow his head, take his life. You know? But, you know, just to kind of lay a little bit of that on you, these are the things that we're looking at out there. We're looking at these now. We see these happening right now in our face. We can read about some things that's happening over there somewhere, but we also are experiencing these things right here amongst ourselves. You know, we out here looking at these Gentiles. Next thing you know, they done took their life. So I remember, you know, back in the day a little bit, well, I guess a few years back, though, this young man, he came, he I don't know what happened to him, but he went into the military. And somehow he got uptight, real uptight. And I'll never forget because I actually saw this young man. I knew him, and I noticed the last time I saw him, boy, he was drinking a cup of coffee every minute. It's like, you know, he just whooped it down. And I even asked him, what's going on? I'm just uptight, you know. And then the next two or three days, he done committed suicide, done killed himself. You know, I said, wow, that's why I say, you know, some of these things are just happening right amongst us, you know, and so it's going on. So I'm telling you, these things are something. And I want to read this one real quick. It's about this guy, an addiction he shared with a lifelong friend. Let's see. This guy developed alcoholism very young in life. Okay. And he killed himself. It says here, one of his friends, died with a heart attack, but drug use and alcohol use played all the way through his life. Another one died of cancer, drank up to the very end. And she said, this person that's right speaking here, she said, my husband actually had a G-tube in him, okay? And that's how bad his health had gotten down too. And what he did, he was so disgusted, so depressed, and so forth, he poured alcohol down his feeding tube until he died. Poisoned himself. Alcohol. See? So these are things that we're living right around. In other words, I guess we see the vengeance of Yah in some of these people that has done things so derogatory that we see it happening to them right here amongst us, all right? So that's why we know that Yah's word is sure. But we can depend on Yah, just trust him, put our trust in him, okay? So, Elder, you know, I just wanted to share that those little notes with you before I go any further. I want to let you come on up because I'm pretty sure you might want to bring something to the floor here, okay?
Hallelujah. That was really good, Elder. I was really into that. You know, I didn't know about, I knew about the opiate addiction, but I didn't know about that the white race, Caucasian, Caucasoid, was dying, especially in that middle age group, you know, 45 to 54. That was very interesting. Was it just males or both males and females?
Well, so far this article here was focusing on males, white Americans, males. Yeah.
Right.
So that's basically what they're focusing on here. And I guess they're concerned about that because, you know, it takes the man to produce kids, you know. See,
right.
So if you
right.
take the man out, then you're taking out the opportunity for them to the women to be able to produce kids like they, you know, need to.
Well, at least to produce other white kids. Yeah, but that is telling. Well, that just coincides with the countdown pretty much. You know, the countdown, what? The end of the Gentile age, Luke 21:24. You know, there was an article that had came out, maybe it's been a few years back. It probably was a couple of years back, at least 2 years, that I read about.
Mm-hmm.
It was that Israel... Israel was trying to strike some kind of deal. It was the government of Israel was trying to strike some kind of a deal. And maybe they had a deal with the Ukraine. And they were trying to relocate a large segment of their population, you know, the Ashkenazi Jews, to Ukraine. And they were saying, well, they're from that area, you know, that region. We know they're from Khazaria. And Khazaria, ancient Khazaria is really located, like, where we look at modern-day Russia, is like southern, just south of where we look at modern-day Russia, between the Black and Caspian Seas. So they were kind of migrating, in a way, back to their homeland area. Yeah, I think it was one stipulation. They had to join the military, agree to have the young people had to agree to serve in military, you know, military service.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to try to combat their territory from being taken over by Russia or something like that. But this was an article, and as far as I remember, even Netanyahu, the president, gave it a green light. And then they tried to act like it was like all a joke or something. It wasn't a joke. You look at Israel. You know Israel is the second leading nation of skin cancer. Out of all these nations, hundreds of nations in the world, I mean, literally hundreds of nations on this planet, Israel has the second highest rate of skin cancer. Okay, stop and think about that. The land itself is testifying against you, that you don't belong there, that that's not your native habitat. The land itself. You know, that's just like if you try to put polar bears in the hot Amazon rainforest, you know, or put polar bears in some around the equator region, you know, if whether it's a rainforest in Africa or somewhere in South America, you know, some of the hottest regions in the world, you try to put polar bears there. No, the polar bears wouldn't survive there. But neither would the species of animals who are used to that equator, temperature, neither would they survive in the Arctic, you know, because that's not their natural habitat. So these people, they have the second highest rate of skin cancer, and they're trying to sell you a bill of goods. Because they own the media, so they can push out any information they want. And you know what I'm saying? You tell a lie enough times, it becomes the truth. Well, you know, not literally becomes the truth, but it's perceived as the truth. You know, and so you know that's why they say perception is reality, because you perceive it to be the truth. That means you're just deceived. But you tell it so many times, that's what they do. You know, they get you on television, they get you on the radio. You know, even in print media, they own it all. They own all the communications. When they bought Reuters back in the, you know, the early 19th century, they started this campaign to have a strong lock hold of, you know, just a ironclad grip of all communications, you know, all media, and they accomplished their job, so they could push out anything. And not only them, they push it out, but they control what others push out. That's why they're feeding us, well, our young people, this rap garbage. You know, all we hear is this rap garbage. All the young people, you know, that's all they hear. You know, about having sex with each other. You know, the money they got, the bling. It's just foolishness, you know. You can't get them to stop. They're going to play it. They might play the same song. Man, I haven't listened to the radio in so long, you know. But they'll play the same song probably 10 times a day or more, you know, by these rap artists, really saying nothing.
That's right.
So anyway, they try to sell us a bill of goods that these people are from this region that they renamed the Middle East. We know it's Northeast Africa. But the land says, no, the land is not letting them get away with it. If people would just open their eyes, the land is saying, hey, they're not from here. See, the land is telling the world that their bodies can't take this place. Their bodies can't take this region. They're not from here. They don't have the melanin to survive here. They have to live in some artificial means. They have to have some kind of air-conditioned environment, you know. You know, like you take your clothes, I mean, take your storage things, you take it to a climatized facility, you know, a locker storage lockers, they have these storage lockers that are climate controlled. That's what they got to be in. They got to be in a climate-controlled environment. You know, they have a natural environment, it'll wither. You know, come down with cancer. What's the skin cancer called? Melatonin?
Melanoma.
I forgot what it's called. Yeah, melanoma. I think melanoma. Senator John Cain, the late Senator John Cain, I think he had that type of cancer that he had been battling with for a long time. So we've been bewitched, Elder. We've been spellbound, hoodwinked, duped, bamboozled. We've been put into a trance-like state, like a stupor, a sleepwalker. We've been put into this state by this magic demon, you know, this media. When I say media, I don't just mean news. People think the news. I'm talking about all mass communication, the media. You know, look at the word media. It's like the root word for medium. You know, the medium commune with the dead, commune with the other side. That's what they're doing. They're putting trances. They're putting us into a trance-like thing with their lies and deceits. You know, making us believe that we were Gentiles, making the world believe that they were the Israelites. Everything, you know. Just a false world where up is down and down is up. You know, that's what kind of world we've been living in the last few hundred years. A world of make-believe, a world of deceit. So, I want to read one scripture in Proverbs 14:12. Real short scripture says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I look and I saw a connection. You know, our people want to be successful, and you know, look like the way we look at it, money equals success. So we're even the rappers talk about money. So, you know, whether we want to go that way like the rappers, or whether we want to be so-called make it in the corporate world, we're all looking for the same thing. That's at the dollar. So. Our people have compromised their values. We've a lot of times ignorantly, we went after the dollar because if someone or some organization waves something before our face like that carrot on a stick, and we think there's a pot of gold at the end, you know, we'll go for it. And you look at these a prime example is these fraternities and sororities. But I'm focusing on fraternities. This is a couple of things I've read up on. You know, they have these fraternities, these Greek organizations, and when I say fraternities, you have to include sororities with this. They have strong ties to the Freemasons. Matter of fact, I'll just read. I had it right here. You know, I'm doing everything on this phone, but. I had a brief little, I think this is it. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I did find the article. It was a long article, and I'm trying to get right to the middle of it. Okay, I see the part I want. Let me get a running start. Okay. All right. Each year, many thousands of undergraduates at universities, and you know how people go to school because they're, you know, what they promise you in school, they say, well, you get out, you get a high-paying job, you get this and that, and you're going to see some of that is right, you know. And they think this is the brightest and best of our people, but not all the time. It don't even have to be the brightest and best of our people. It's the people who buy into the system. It's our people who pretty much sell themselves out. They're the ones that get the so-called high-paid positions of prestige and honor. You'll see that in government. You see that in entertainment. You see that in a lot of areas. Media. It says each year, okay, so they go to colleges and universities, they will join a social fraternity. This is black people. It's organizers claim a number of benefits. See, these fraternities, that's how they sell you. They claim a number of benefits are attached to being in a fraternity. In addition to an increased social life, it is also a lifelong commitment in which fellow members can network with each other throughout their entire professional careers. Okay, so who wouldn't want to help to climb that corporate ladder? I mean, if that's your goal, you know. However, despite the positive, fraternities have also gained a bad reputation because of their harsh and sometimes dangerous initiation rituals known as hazing. And hazing, without going too much in depth, hazing is just a ritual. You know, it's just a satanic ritual.
Yep.
You know, there's rituals for calling up the dead. There's rituals for seances. Hazing is just another ritual. Say, and I'm going to skip down. It just says sometimes these hazing can go too far, and this results in a regular number of recorded deaths each and every year. Yep. So there are deaths involved in this hazing ritual. And it's caused negative public reactions, and the practice of hazing has been banned at many universities and colleges. But a lot of the frats and sororities still do it off campus. Okay? So they don't just shut their organization down. It says, okay, fraternities and sororities, in the case of female equivalent, follow what is known as the Greek system. This is where fraternities and sororities come from. Listen to this. Follow the Greek system. It is called this as the fraternities and sororities are identified with either two or three Greek letters. These letters represent the initials of a motto that is written in the Greek language. For example, so, you know, it's three letters, and it represents three words or motto. So, for example, Phi Beta Kappa. Those are Greek alphabets, and it comes from the motto. So you want to know what Phi, you know, we know that for P, and Beta, B, Kappa, K. It stands for the motto Philosophia. That's the P. Bio, and that's the B or Beta. Kybernetes, and that's the K or Kappa. Okay, so P, B, K. P for Phi, B for Beta, and K for Kappa. And the full motto is Philosophia Bio Kybernetes. It's Greek, which means philosophy is the guide of life. So it's not the scriptures, it's not the Bible. And philosophy is of man. You know, that's a humanist worldview, humanist outlook. So leave Yah out of it. Okay, so they're telling our people, leave Yah out of your life. Leave Yah out of your outlook. Leave Yah out of your goals. Be guided by humanism. Be guided by society. Be guided, and the Bible says, you know, the ways of this world. We know there's a God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. So that's what it's telling these people to go by. It says this model tends to be kept a secret between members of the fraternity in question. So they didn't want that to get out. Listen to this. And here's the meat of it. There's a link. And then I'm going to leave the listeners with some information. They could pull up a documentary online, too, to look at this. It'll explain it. It says, however, it is an acceptable fact that the Greek system is largely modeled on the structure of Freemasonry. Okay, did you get that? The Greek system is largely modeled on the structure of Freemasonry. The following, so, you know, see, the truth is coming out. You know, you track like this, these little Greek fraternities or so as, no. And Freemasonry is of Satan. And so you join these Greek organizations, you are whether you know it or not, you're involved in a satanic organization. It says the following quote is highly revealing as to the Masonic origins. Look at that. The following quote is highly revealing as to the Masonic origins of the Greek system. So the Greek, this Greek system, what we call fraternities and sororities, has their origins in Masonry, Freemasonry. It comes from the candidate syllabus of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority of 1990. It has page 30. So that's a reference. You could go right there. It says the most direct line of descent from Greek societies to America is the Freemasons, called Masons. Historians of American fraternities and sororities trace most of our rituals, ceremonies, and rites to the Masons. They tell them it all. They said knowledge will be revealed in the last days. It says, an examination of Masonic rituals open to the scholars suggests that our founders were also influenced by Masonic ritual, symbolism, and initiation experiences. The initiation, you know, for these fraternities. They follow the same initiation as the Masons. And it has the reference library thing, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I could read on, but that's a good read. And let me see where I tell them that website. This website was fringemedia.net. Fringe, you know, like out on the fringe. Fringemedia, one word, .net. And the name of the article is The Greek System and Freemasonry at American Universities. That's the title of the article. The Greek System and Freemasonry at American Universities. Okay, so we got, just wanted to get some, a reference source in there to show that there's a direct tie between these sororities, these Greek sororities and fraternities, and Freemasonry. Okay, so you know you're involved in a demonic organization, and you know you're participating in satanic rituals, satanic rites. Okay, so look at this. I did a little more digging, and I could have came up with a lot of names, but this is just a few. And like I said, I just mainly focused on the male side, the fraternities. And I'm sure you look at the sororities, you'll see a lot of famous people under these sororities too. So, but for the fraternities, they like this one a lot. Now, there's others, but they like Omega Psi Phi. Psi is PSI and Phi, PHI. Omega Psi Phi fraternity. You have some of the most distinguished people in it in the entertainment world. You have people like Stephen A. Smith. He's a ESPN sports network broadcaster. He's on the ESPN network, and so he's all over the place in the world of sports, mainly do basketball. But you'll see him on ESPN, and you have Michael Jordan. Okay, oh, Michael Jordan. Everybody brag about the Hanes underwear and the Nike shoes. And look at that. You know, from basketball to billionaire on shoes. I bet Michael never stitched a shoe in his life, but he's a billionaire right now. But we're going to talk about black. Before we go, we're going to talk about black riches compared with black wealth. There's really no such thing as black wealth. That's why I termed it like that. Okay, Steve Harvey, the funny man, right? Steve Harvey. And we got Shaquille O'Neal, big Shaquille O'Neal, former Lakers, Los Angeles Lakers center, and a lot more. Let's just give you a few. So they have a direct connection, and these guys are Masons, and as well as they were Omega Psi Phi frat members.
Yep.
And remember, they got a connection for life. Now, I'm not saying these guys aren't bright, you know, smart or whatever. I don't know them personally. I don't know if they're dumb. I don't know if they're smart. But I tell you what they are. They are well connected in this world system. They sold their soul for benefits, for short-term
yes.
benefits. And even if some of the benefits, you know, reap them billions of dollars, they're still short-term. Because in the black world, there is no such thing as black wealth. Wealth passes from one generation to the other. It can be handed down. Riches can be fleeting. You could win the lotto, and obviously you could be a homeless person and go to a liquor store and win the lotto. But you can be broke in a year or two, you know, after you won $100 million. Don't ask me where it goes. It just works. You know, riches of fleet. The most blacks can ask for is fleeting riches. You know, that's why it's told Moshe. You hear the example of Moshe. It says he rather endured the hard times with his people instead of enjoying the fleeting, you know, wealth or riches. Pleasures of this world for a season. And you know, the scriptures put it like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it says, though the pleasures and the wealth of this world are fleeting and they're, you know, they're temporary. So Moshe made a wise decision. He'd rather suffer with his people instead of joining the, you know, enjoying all the pleasure, sure, the money pleasures, the women pleasures, you know, all the little physical pleasures he could have had just by living his life as an Egyptian, you know, as a rich Egyptian in Pharaoh's court.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these people I named and many others like them, they're doing the opposite. They made the opposite decision. They say, I'm not going to suffer with my people. I'm sick of suffering, you know. A lot of these people started off poor, and they say the hell with being poor. You want me to sign a deal with the devil? I'll do it. And so they join these fraternities. I've seen a picture, I think, of big old Shaquille O'Neal in a, you know, head and shoulders. You know, he can't hide himself. He, head and shoulders sticking out like a sore thumb in the Mason parade or something. I don't know what city it was in. This was a while back. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first knew Shaquille Mason. So he's in this. See how they go hand in hand, these frats and these sororities with the Masonic?
Yeah.
So they have a direct connection. Okay, I don't want to go too long. Let's see what time it is. Okay, they have a direct connection, these fraternities, with Freemasonry. And like I told you about the doctrine, I'm going to give you the title of it. And here's what they do. Here's what they offer these people. The wicked Babylonian system give these sold-out blacks, these sold-out Israelites, they don't know they're Israelites, high prestigious positions. They give them high prestigious positions in media, government, religion. Yes, religion. Don't think religion out of business, a sector of business, religion, and entertainment. You see them on TV and in positions of black leadership and celebrityism. The celebrityism is not a word, but the world of celebrity, you know. So you'll see these black puppets as your congressmen, you know, as your aldermen. As you know, city council, you know, the whites are given these positions. Now, Elder, you know, you, me, our sons or daughters, our neighbors could be smarter and more apt for the job than they are. But see, that's what I'm saying. They don't just send them because they're our brightest, our best and brightest. No, our best and brightest seek Yah, follow the ways of Yah. You know,
right.
They put these people in there, you know, because these people have sold out. These people have said, I'm going to go the opposite way that Boshe went. I'm going to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin instead of suffering with our people. So you'll see these newscasters, you know, you wonder, man, don't these newscasters know what's really going on? Why don't they say what's really? They never going to cross the line. They're going to follow the script to the T. They're not going to cross. A lot of black doctors in the medical institute, you know, they should know, you know, this medicine, how it's gradually designed to kill and wear out the bodies. Yeah, you're supposed to fix one organ and it deteriorates another organ. You know, they are not going to buck the system. You know, and by the way, there's been a whole slew of holistic doctors who have died over the last 10 years. Number puts them at over like 300, you know, very good, what they call accomplished doctors who kind of left the traditional medical and they started being a holistic. They were regular, what you call MDs with degrees. And they left that and went more into the holistic, and they all came up with some bizarre, strange deaths, all of them, you know, from plane crashes to dying in their sleep, all kind of things. But they were pretty much murdered, you know. So, but a lot of our black doctors say, oh, no, I'm going with the system, you know. So you'll see them in government. You'll see them in religion. So these big-time preachers, T.D. Snakes, Creflo Dollar and all, you know, them guys are sold out. They were frat members, too. They're Masons, too.
Yeah.
And then the entertainers, you know, I want some money. I'll sing and dance for you. Just give me some money. So it's the people in sports, a lot of our sports players. I said Shaquille O'Neal, but he's not the only one. There's many others. So they've sold out, you know, for the following that carrot that was dangling in front of them. They want their payoff now. They want it now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to wait till this. They don't want it to see this thing played out the way Yah says it's going to be played out. They want it now. They want the women, they want the lust, they want the money, they want the material, they want the house on the hill, the car. They want it now. And Yah says, okay, you got to get your reward right now. But those people, he says, when he told us as people to come out from among them, that you don't be partakers of her plagues, well, guess what? Those people are not going to come out from among them. They are going to be partakers of the plague. It basically, the way y'all are going to look at them, they're no different from the oppressor because they are keeping his people oppressed by perpetuating the same lies and myths that the oppressor has been doing. So they're just an extended mouthpiece of the oppressor. I don't care how rich they are. And last but not least, the black wealth. Dr. Claude Anderson said it good. He just gave the numbers. He quantified it. Blacks own no more wealth from the turn of the 19th century, 1900, when 1900 rolled around, until today. We owned one half of 1% then, and we own one half of 1% now. Blacks money do not, black riches, well, do not be transferred from generation to generation. It goes back into the Babylonian system. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at Prince. Look at James Brown. I'm naming these people. Their money is not going to their black descendants. It's not going to their black ancestors, their black family members. Prince, they say there's already $45 million that the lawyers have already spent, stole, robbed, whatever, supposedly working out this probate thing. His money's all tied to probate. They say he didn't even have a will. I believe that's a lie. He didn't have a will, but that's what can you do really in this wicked system when they lie? That's just like they these wicked cops kill one of us, and they said the cop is acquitted. He didn't do nothing wrong. What can you really do? At least right now. Oh, there's going to be a time. Oh, there's going to be a time when payback.
Mm-hmm. Are you there, Elder? Okay, look like we lost Elder. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I do understand what you're saying, you know, Elder, because believe me, when I was in school, they tried to recruit me also into this frat, this fraternity, and I learned quickly. I found out that those are the doors, front doors to okay, I see you now. Those are the front doors to the Freemason. That's how they get you
Hello.
In. Okay, you still
hey,
you're coming.
Am
you,
I back,
you,
am I back on?
Yeah, I got you. Uh-huh. You are.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm back on the air. You see them devils drop
yeah.
me?
I see.
Man, they
drop. I see.
They drop me from the air, yeah. man. You can't even tell truth. I say they own the airways, you know. So
mm-hmm. yes.
these devils. Yeah, so that the black money is not meant to be transferred from generation.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan, I don't care if he has $1 billion. When his time is up, his money will not be transferred to his black family members. It will go right back into the system, just like MJ's was, the Michael Jackson, just like James Brown,
mm-hmm.
just like Sammy Davis Jr., just like Joe Louis, the old great box. I mean, you can name anyone that's come off the top of your head that have went passed on to the other side. It's
mm-hmm.
not going to be passed on. And you
yeah,
wonder
yeah.
why. Well, Yah didn't design
uh-huh.
it. We have a time. Yah says this is the time of our captivity. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to provide for us to eat and have a shelter and stuff like that. But if we try to partake in, you know, just live the Babylonian life and, you know, just have all the wealth and comfort here and this in the land of our captivity, no, it's not meant like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be. Our time is coming. This is a Gentile age. It's coming to a rapid end. And when
That's
that
right.
happens, Yah said the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's going to be a wealth transfer. Some people think it's going to come through the reparations. I'm thinking the reparations is going to have something to do with that wealth transfer. But when Yah say the wealth, the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the just, it's not talking about all black people. That's where our people have a disconnect in their understanding. So you got a lot of Negroes living like hell, fornicating, adulterating, drunken, carousing, some of them murderers, you know, just because their skin is black or brown, thinking, oh, you know, Yah's going to write them cut them a paycheck. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. Now, go ahead. Now, I know they're blind by green dollar sign, but it's not going to be. You're not going to get a penny. It says
mm-hmm.
the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. It's not laid up for the wicked Israelites.
Right.
It's laid up for the just. If your heart hasn't been circumcised, if you haven't turned to Yahshua, yes, that's a lot of the Hebrew Israelites think there is no Messiah, think there is no, you know, Yahshua. You know, they think they don't believe in the concept. And I forget the concept. They don't believe in the truth of our Messiah. So
right.
they're going to be counted with the wicked too. I'm tired of cutting corners. I'm not going to do that. They're going to be lost. So you're going to be counted
yep.
with the damned also. You're going to partake
in her place. When it's talking about this country with Revelation, when it says chapter 18, that you be not partake, that you will not partake in her place, you're going to partake in her place.
Uh-huh.
All this, because I'm black, I'm going to get these reparations. Sorry, it's not going to be like that. And I know you people look at this online stuff, Facebook and YouTube, you got all these people talking about reparations. They think this wealth transfer is going to go for all black people. They've even started dividing it up. Is it going to be just black people in America, or is it going to be the Caribbean? No, don't even worry about it. If you're not living for Yah, don't even worry about it. You stay on the sidelines.
You know, Al Sharpton is just a Jackson. They're putting them in.
Yeah,
they're trying to get themselves in a position to make sure they be in charge of it.
Oh, they want to be the ones that divvy everything up, and pretty much divvy it up among themselves. Yeah, no, Yah's not going to have that foolishness. He's not going to have that. But he's going to have a righteous kingdom, and the wealth going to be laid up for the righteous. It's going to be divvied up among the righteous. Okay? That's why he says, I wish above all things that you prosper in 3 John. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. But he said, even as your soul prospers. He doesn't want us to prosper in the same uncircumcised heart, you know, the same unrepentant heart, this degenerate nature that we're in. He doesn't want us to prosper in that way, and our soul is hell-bound. He says, I want you to prosper even as your soul prosper. In other words, as your soul is prospering, as you're becoming more like him, he say, that's what I want you to prosper. That's why I want you to prosper in health and in material prosperity, as your soul prosper, as your spirit prosper. These people don't care nothing about the spirit or soul prosper. They want their belly to prosper, all the material ones. So I'll cut it off there, Elder. We're probably not going to go too much tonight, but that's it. And you know what? I enjoyed this forum. Sometime you just talk, you pray that Yah just gives you what to say, and you just kind of just go for it, kind of just keeping current with what's going on with things. Oh, I said I was going to give the people the documentary. Okay, the documentary that you want to go to, the video, the title is this. Here's the title. It's called The Boule. Boule is spelled B-O-U-L-E. B-O-U-L-E. The Boule, Black Greek Fraternities, Black Illuminati, Freemason Celebrities Exposed. Man, that's a long title. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. And it's 27 minutes and 51 seconds. Let me just read it one more time, Elder. Here's the title. You might have to play this back to get it, to write it down all. The Boule, Black Greek Fraternities, Black Illuminati, Freemason Celebrities Exposed. And this says part two. So after you see the word exposed, put in part two or PT2. PT2 means part two. And you're going to look for a video that's 27 minutes and 51 seconds. It's very good. It's not from the same article that I read with you, but it's pretty much along the same lines as that article. And I'm sure you guys enjoy it. But that's it, Elder. And hallelujah. I enjoyed this. I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to you when you were talking about that fraternity stuff in the school systems out there. Now, when I was in school myself, they tried to get me into the fraternities there and so forth. I just flat had to turn them down. But I did find out, based on what I saw, these were the very doors, the first step into Masonry, okay? There's a lot of recruiting stations right there in the school. That's why your kids, you're going to try to send your kids to college now. You better be careful. You might want to really school them on this stuff because if not, they could get caught up with their friends and things and find themselves in the, joining a frat, a fraternity. You see, because they got a lot of things they offer you when you're there in school, you know. One of the first things they offer you is all kind of help through the school with getting your homework, getting your being able to pass these exams and so forth. You know, they got a way of getting the material to you, for you, and so forth, to make it easier for you to get through school, you know. But then also they have this hazing, this initiation that you got to go through, which is crazy. And I wasn't about to go through that. You know, I just said, no, I'm not the one. In fact, I didn't have time, you know, anyway, to even waste my time. But, yeah, these are the things that are going on right there in school. And once you come out, and what's so bad about my case, even I did not allow myself to get recruited or get caught up in it when I was in school. Even after I got out of school, right here in this neighborhood, they found me, man, and they still offered masonry to me this time. Oh, I would have been able to become a mason without any initiation now that I've graduated from school, from college and everything, got this certain degree. You know, all I got to do now is accept it, sign a paper. I still refused them. I said, no, I didn't accept it then. I didn't want it then. I don't want it now. You know, I'm going to make it on Yah's help. That was it. Because believe me, when I was all the time I was in school, when I was in school, I was keeping the Sabbath then, you know. And so I wasn't about to turn around and give up, walk away from Yah and join this demonic system, because that's what it is. And right now, you named all of those different people, you know, was this big time pastor named DJ, TJ, TJ,
oh,
or whatever
TJ.
He is.
Yeah, Creflo Dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creflo. Yeah. All you got to do is look at them. Watch their hands gestures that they give, the signals that they be giving. They let you know that they are representative of Satan. They are part,
That's right.
A lot of these entertainers. As soon as they get up there on the, as soon as you see them on TV, they got to throw up that sign. You see these same signals with politicians, with presidents, with all the people out there, especially all of those that are out there in the media and entertainment world. You see it, and all you got to do is know what you're looking for, and you automatically know that these people are part of the satanic system. You see? Because
that's right.
Satan has an organization, a system out there, and he has people that he has recruited into his system, and he demands that they show and represent him. Once they are so brought up forward into the media where people are able to recognize who they are and so forth, they have a duty to show you, prove that you are they are with Satan. They're on his side, you see. So
that's right.
You know, after looking, seeing all of that stuff, I know. I said, no, you're not going to even trick me into your mess. I'll get through the school system by praying to Yah, Allah help and letting him help me. And believe me, I was able to get right on up, move straight on up through it, to get my doctorate degree. And, hey, without Satan's help, you know,
that's
with
right.
Yah's help, through prayer. Yeah, keeping the Sabbath. You know, during the time that I was in school, one person asked me, well, how do you do that? Just take off every Sabbath and don't do nothing, just relax. I said, yeah, that's what I do. You know, this is me. This is how, you know, and I'm not giving that up because I know what is right. I know what the scripture has said, you know. And so that's what we did. And I just came right on, to sneak right on through, under the cover, right by them. And I never forget, I got guys, some people, they join the frat. Next thing you know, they start falling so far behind. And next thing you know, they were slipped out of school. They just didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them. They don't talk about that, though. They don't show, you know, they keep that on the cover. You know, it's like everything.
Right.
The article
I read, it did say it has a negative effect. Some of them don't do well in school. It said that. But I guess the ones who do make it through, they have a pathway just waiting for them that just go right up through society. You know what I'm saying? The ones who do make it graduate, they have a pathway already laid out for them. You know, so you wonder how did they get on TV? How did they do this? You know, well, Satan is keeping his part of the bargain. He only going to keep it for a while, you know, because he is a deceiver.
That's right. So and that's the key. We just need to make sure we train our kids before they get out there, leave the house, and go out there in these colleges. Because I'm gonna tell you, that's where the big deception starts, right there. Especially with that Freemasonry. That's the doors. The doors for Freemasonry is in the colleges right now. As soon as they introduce you to any of those frats, that's the door to
it.
And I'm gonna tell you a quick story that my daddy told us when we were kids, okay? He said he had a friend, and this is one thing that protected me from this junk out there when I was out there in school. My dad said he had a friend, and his friend joined the Freemason. And then he said, about a few days later, he ran into his friend, he met him, and his friend walked up to him and just fell on his knees crying. A grown man, crying like a baby because he had joined that Freemasonry, you know? And it was like he was stuck. He couldn't get out of it, and he knew he was, and it was a sad thing for him, you see? So when my dad told us that story way back when I was a child, I never forgot that story that my dad told us about this Freemason. That was all he knew. He didn't know nothing else about it but the fact that his friend had joined and his friend met him later on, breaking down, crying like a little baby. You see?
Right.
So I said, man. And so that was one of the lessons that I learned before I left home from my parents, that you don't mess with that stuff. You just don't touch
no.
it. Don't even come close to it.
No, that's like playing with a Ouija board. You know, just don't play with something. You just don't involve yourself with certain things.
That's right. So that's what I'm saying. So that's what hopefully that what we have shared tonight can be a benefit or a blessing to somebody out there, and maybe to help them make a decision with their children. You know, don't allow yourself to get mixed up in that mess. Because see, you're young, you're impressionable at that age. And Satan knows it, and that's why they're out there trying to make it all exciting to you, you know, to get you to come on and be a part of us right here. You know, you're going to be part of the big timers around the campus, so forth. But you know what? That ain't nothing but
big
time.
And you know what they say? They say, you can even have our women. We'll even offer you some of our women.
That's true. That's right. Absolutely.
They know the block, bro. Guys to go for that.
Yeah, exactly. So
I mean, they know a lot of black men are, you know, so full of low self-esteem. You know, of course, no black man going to admit that. We got too much false pride, but, you know, man, give me a white girl. You know, they know just the bait.
So there we go. So we definitely want to keep our eyes on the word of Yah and just trust Yah, because all of this other stuff out here in the world, like you have already brought out, is just temporary. And we're coming up on the end now. We're so close. So, you know, it's just absolutely, you just don't want to come up on the end and realize that you just made that mistake a few days ago that you didn't have to, you know? You had a chance. You had an opportunity, you know? Yeah, but it'll be too late when it come up on that judgment day and you don't let yourself step out of line like that. It's too late then, because on judgment day, You're going to be there on that in that seat, standing before the throne of Yah, before the judge. Let me just put it that way. You know,
that's right.
You're going to be there, and you're going to be there all alone. And everything that you have done in your life, you're going to remember it. Any sin, any weakness, it's going to come to you. You're going to realize. You condemned.
You know what's a good example to me is Jacob's brother Esau. You know, when he devalued his own birthright, spiritual birthright, he let his physical nature have more control of him than the spiritual nature. So he sold his spiritual birthright for a bowl of soup, porridge, or whatever. And he regretted that. He cried with tears later when Isaac told him, "No, I've given your birthright to your brother." So you don't want to be like Esau. You don't want to sell. You don't want what Yah have entrusted you with. You don't want to forfeit that and give that over for a bowl of porridge, a bowl of stew, you know. Illicit sexual relationship, a few $100,000 or whatever Satan puts, a new promotion on the job, this house, whatever material thing Satan tried to dangle, whatever that carrot is, you don't want to sell, like Elder say. You don't want to get this close and realize that you sold out right before the time. You don't want to do that. That's going to be a horrible feeling. That's why he says it's going to be gnashing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. And people realize what they sold themselves for, how cheap they sold. You know, like I say, man, you sold yourself cheap. How cheap you sold yourself. You know, even the Michael Jordans and the so-called real rich ones who's, you know, today's money value, you know, you got millions of dollars, the Jay-Z's and Beyonce, that's going to be a drop in the bucket to compare.
That's right.
Not even a drop in the bucket compared, because it says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. We can't even conceive what it's going to be. He said the things that Yah have prepared for those who love him, it's going to be incomparable. You ain't going to compare nothing earthly to the riches that Yah. And man, when he say riches, he mean true riches, inside and out. You know.
That's right.
Your soul, your peace. And that peace that passes all understanding. That's priceless right there. What can you give for that? I mean, man, hallelujah. Yeah, you better go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah. We're going to get on up out of here because you're right. It's when you think about that. You know, and what I can suggest to you, if you got the opportunity, if you got the book, the pseudepigraphy, I don't know if you got one of those, pseudepigrapha. If you get it, read Enoch. The book of Enoch is in there. And I tell you what, you can get a good understanding what Enoch is saying, especially about this judgment day. You're going to be sitting there, and guess what? All pity, all mercy is out. It's gone. You can't even plead for nothing. He showed it to you. He shows it to you so clear that when you see it like that, you're gonna think twice. You're gonna think
triple time
before you let yourself get carried away into some wickedness that you know will cause you to miss out on the kingdom. Okay? And that's what I like about reading the book of Enoch, because it's broken down for you to clearly, and it says it, but his writings are a benefit to keep you from sinning. You know? Those who read these writings of Enoch, you know, it's like it's a special something, a benefit for you. You know, it gives you power, gives you strength enough to walk away from sin, clear it out of your system, out of your life, you see? And because we know it, these secret sins, these things that we think nobody else can see, Yah sees it all. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from him, you see? And so long we can keep
man,
that in mind.
You're going to have me reading the book of Enoch time I get home.
Oh, I tell you, it will be worth it. You know, I take it with me
as often as I can.
Yeah, I take it with me because
I've read part of it before. I haven't read through the whole entire book, but I'm definitely going to delve back into that.
Oh, it is good. It is good. It is worth it, you know, especially in these times. Because Satan has doubled his effort to try to cause us to be lost. He has put more effort now, in this time now, towards the Hebrew Israelite people. He wants to trap as many of us as he can, you see? But if we listen to Enoch is one of our elders. Listen to him, his writing,
right?
You see? Then you're gonna see something that you don't normally see, you know, and you're gonna hear some wisdom, hear some something that is good for you, healthy for your mind. You see, that's
hallelujah.
What we want, you know. So hallelujah, hallelujah. So with that being said, Elder, I tell you, we could go ahead and close it out tonight because
let's close it on that high note, man. You're going to have everybody listening to you when grabbing the book of Enoch.
That would be great. I hope so. I wish so. And pray that Yah will give you understanding, you see, because he will.
Yes.
He's in our midst. He says he's not willing that any of us, you know, to be lost. It's not his will for us to be lost, you see. But all
that's means
to come to repentance, come to repent so that you could be part of his kingdom. You see? So hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So with that being said, okay, if anybody else, if anyone, you know, anytime you're listening to us and you have a question or a comment, feel free to press 1 on that phone if you want to. We'll see a question mark in here in the studio here by your names, and we'll be glad to hear any comments that you might have, okay? And we'll try to answer the question that you have. Depends on what the question is. But we sure work with you, okay? So hallelujah, hallelujah. So with that being said, all right, okay, if that's it for you, Elder, we could go ahead and close it out with a set of part music. And
we'll say shalom, family.
All right, shalom, shalom, shalom. I hope you like this one, Elder. Here we go.
Your time, 'cause I'm gonna be there for you. Take your time, don't you know patience is a virtue?
I have a reason to believe that patience is a virtue, because now I understand the things that I've gone through. It shows no limit to what faith can do. You left hand knows not what the right stone do. Pay your dues for overcoming complex issues. Only fools think that they can walk and they hold you. Your past,
for you. Take your time.
You know,
patience is a virtue.
I take my grace and give thanks to the Almighty.
Yes,
for being my refuge and my shelter, my
song,
my rock, my stone, when there was no strength inside me. Now I wait on Yah, put my trust in Yah, never have a fear, because I drowned in my tears for so many years. To judge for my peers with focus unclear, the truth dating Yah came near, the truth was revered, only a chosen few seen it through, being shed bad, loyal, being true, so I do believe that.
Go ahead and call it a night.
Okay.
Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Shalom.